Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
My dear brothers and sisters, since the beginning of Lent until now, we have prepared our hearts by penance and charitable works. Today we gather together to herald with the whole church the beginning of the celebration of our Lord's Paschal mystery, that is to say, of his passion and resurrection. For it was to accomplish this mystery that he entered his own city of Jerusalem. Therefore, with all faith and devotion, let us commemorate the Lord's entry into the city for our salvation, following in his footsteps, so that being made by his grace partakers of the cross, we may have a share also in his resurrection, in his life. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, sanctify these branches with your blessing. That we who follow Christ the King in exaltation may reach the eternal Jerusalem through him who lives and reigns forever and ever. May the Lord be in your heart and on your lips, that you may proclaim his gospel worthily and well. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus and his disciples drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately on entering it, you will find a colt tethered on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone should say to you, 'Why are you doing this?' reply, 'The master has need of it, and will send it back here at once.' So they went off and found a colt tethered at a gate outside on the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders said to them, 'Why are you doing untying the colt?' They answered, 'Just as Jesus had told them to do.' And they permitted them to do it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and put their cloaks over it. He sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from their fields. Those preceding him as well as those following kept crying out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is to come. Hosanna in the highest.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us go forth in peace.
Thanks. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, who, as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused your Son to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we who heed his lesson of patient suffering and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
My God, why have you abandoned me? My God, why have you abandoned me? All who see me scoff at me. They mock me with parted lips. They wag their heads. He relied on the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him if he loves him. My God, my God, why have you many dogs around me, a pack of evildoers closed in upon me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. My God, my God, why have you? They divided my garments among them. For my vesture they cast lots. But you, O Lord, be not far from me. O my help, hasten to aid me. My God, my God, why have you? I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, give glory to him. revere him, all you descendants of Israel. My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every single tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Christ became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were to take place in 2 days' time, so the chief priests and the scribes were seeking a way to arrest him by treachery and put him to death. They said,
"Not during the festival, for the fear that there may be a riot among the people."
When he was in Bethany, reclining at table in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of perfumed oil, costly, genuine spikenard. She broke the alabaster jar and poured it on his head. There were some who were indignant.
"Why has there been this waste of perfumed oil? It could have been sold for more than 300 days' wages, and the money given to the poor."
They were infuriated with her. Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you make trouble for her? She has done a good thing for me. The poor you will always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anticipated anointing my body for burial. Amen, I say to you, whatever the gospel is, wherever the gospel, whenever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went off to the chief priest to hand him over to them. When they heard him, they were pleased and promised to pay him money. Then he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him,
"Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He sent two of his disciples and said to them,
"Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there."
The disciples went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they reclined at table and were eating, Jesus said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They began to be distressed and to say to him one by one,
"Surely it is not I."
He said to them,
"One of the 12, the one who dips with me into the dish. For the Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born."
While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, and said,
"Take it, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them,
"This is my blood of the covenant with which I will shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it in the kingdom of God."
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"All of you will have your faith shaken, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be dispersed. But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Even though all should have their faith shaken, mine will not be."
Then Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times."
But he vehemently replied,
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And they all spoke similarly. Then they came to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be troubled and distressed. Then he said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch."
He advanced a little and fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass by him. He said,
"Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will."
When he returned, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Withdrawing again, he prayed, saying the same thing. Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open and did not know what to answer him. He returned a third time and said to them,
Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man will be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand.
Then, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had arranged a signal with them, saying,
The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away securely.
He came and immediately went over to him and said,
Rabbi.
And he kissed him. At this, they laid hands on him and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew his sword, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. Jesus said to them in reply,
Have you come out as against a robber, with swords and clubs, to seize me? Day after day I was with you teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled.
And they all left him and fled. Now a young man followed him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. They seized him, but he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. Peter followed him at a distance into the high priest's courtyard and was seated with the guards, warming himself at the fire. The chief priest and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. Many gave false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. Some took the stand and testified falsely against him, alleging,
We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another not made with hands.
Even so, their testimony did not agree. The high priest rose before the assembly and questioned Jesus, saying,
Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?
But he was silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said to him,
Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?
Then Jesus answered,
I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven.
At that, the high priest tore his garments and said,
What further need have we to witness? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?
They all condemned him as deserving to die. Some began to spit on him. They blindfolded him and struck him and said to him,
Prophesy.
And the guards greeted him with blows. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's maids came along. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked intently at him and said,
You too were with the Nazarene, Jesus.
But he denied it, saying,
I neither nor understand what you are talking about.
So he went out into the outer court. Then the cock crowed. The maid saw him and began again to say to the bystanders,
This man is one of them.
Once again he denied it. A little later, the bystanders said to Peter once more,
Surely you are one of them, for you too are a Galilean.
He began to curse and to swear,
I do not know this man about whom you are talking.
And immediately a cock crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. He broke down and wept. As soon as morning came, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes, that is the whole Sanhedrin, held a council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
He said to him in reply,
You say so.
The chief priest accused him of many things. Again, Pilate questioned him,
Have you no answer? See how many things they accuse you of.
Jesus gave no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now, on the occasion of the feast, he used to release to them one prisoner whom they requested. A man called Barabbas was then in prison along with the rebels who had committed murder in a rebellion. The crowd came forward and began to ask him to do for them as he was accustomed. Pilate answered,
"Do you want me to release you, the king of the Jews?"
For he knew that it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate again said to them in reply,
"Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
They shouted again,
"Crucify him."
Pilate said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
They only shouted the louder,
"Crucify him."
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them. And after he had Jesus scourged and handed him over to be crucified, the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the praetorium, and assembled the whole cohort. They clothed him in purple, and weaving a crown of thorns, placed it on him. They began to salute him with,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
and kept striking his head with a reed and spitting upon him. They knelt before him in homage. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him. They pressed into service a passerby, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. They brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. They gave him wine drugged with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments by casting lots for them to see what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." With him they crucified two revolutionaries, one on his right and one on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
"Ah, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross."
Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes mocked him among themselves and said,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with him also kept abusing him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,"
which is translated,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"Look, he is calling Elijah."
One of them ran, soaked a sponge with wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to take him down."
Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was the Son of God."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of the younger James and of Joseph, and Salome. These women had followed him when he was in Galilee and ministered to him. There were also many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When it was already evening, since it was the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a distinguished member of the council, who was himself awaiting the kingdom of God, came and courageously went to Pilate and asked him for the body of Jesus. Pilate was amazed that he was already dead. He summoned the centurion and asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned of it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Having bought a linen cloth, he took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, watched where he was laid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, as we begin this Holy Week, it is a special opportunity for us as Christians to follow Jesus closely throughout the liturgies, which we are a liturgical church, to walk with Jesus day by day. We have an opportunity to walk with him more closely. What I would suggest for us today is not only to look at the external operations of Jesus this week, to see what he did, but I would ask us to follow what was going on inside of him. What were his thoughts? What were his sentiments? What was going on around him? And to see how he lived through these moments. In the book of the prophet Isaiah this morning, which we read in our first reading, God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. There was an unwavering trust in God. Psalm 63 says, O God, you are my God, for you I long. For you my soul is thirsting, my body pines for you like a dry, weary land without water. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your face. For your love is greater than life. And that is the phrase I would like for us to remember this week. Your love, God's love, is greater than life. This is what Jesus experienced in this life, who is the way, the truth, and the life. What we see in the reading today of the gospel are the lies, the gossip, the untruth that surrounded Jesus. As he stood before the Sanhedrin, as he stood before Pilate, we can only imagine that the Psalm 63, those words were resounding in his heart. You are my God, for you I long, for you my soul is thirsting. For your love is greater than my life. It is better to live for God than to succumb to all the tortures of this life. As we follow Jesus up to Calvary, I truly believe that those words were resounding in his heart. He knew people were lying about him. He knew people were laughing at him. He knew people were gossiping about him. He knew that he was surrounded by untruth, and he was the truth. But your love is greater than life. And so if we truly want to live with the attitude of Christ, which is at the beginning, not in the letter, but in the opening verse of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5, your attitude, our attitude must be that of Christ. Our attitude must be that of Christ. Our Holy Father reminds people over and over, and it's remarkable. If you just Google Francis Pope gossip, he says that one of the worst evils, one of the most destructive evils of our day, is gossip. And social media helps. In fact, it spreads it faster than we can even blink an eye. We gossip about each other. We gossip in the family. We gossip about our neighbors. We gossip about politicians. We gossip about priests. We gossip about the bishop. We gossip about family members. We gossip, 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 which means gossip means I don't really know what I'm talking about. I'm misinformed, uninformed, believe what somebody else told me, which is what somebody else told me, which is somebody else told me. That's the environment Jesus walked into. Gossip. Gossip. And yet, your love is greater than life. Jesus totally abandoned himself to the love of the Father. And we see it even at the final moment. My God, why have you abandoned me? But into your hands I commend my spirit. So, sisters and brothers, this week I've heard so many times, how can we make things better? How can we make our world better? How can we continue and improve things? I would offer to all of us this week, stop listening to gossip and stop gossiping. God's love is greater than our life. God knows better. As Jesus did this week in a very special way, he entrusted himself to the truth that is in God his Father. And so let's do the same. Let our attitude be that of Christ as we walk through this week with its problems, with its joys, with its difficulties, knowing that God's love is better than anything we can experience. Sisters and brothers, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. Begotten, not made, substantial with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day in according with the Scriptures. Ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory, the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. On the cross, Jesus knew that he would call out to his Father and that he would be heard. As children of God, especially in this holy week, let us bring our prayers and our cries before God our Father.
For all of God's holy church, that we may be a visible sign to others as we follow the way of the cross in the world today. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace in areas of the world beset by war, hostility, and conflict, especially in the lands where Jesus walked, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who feel abandoned, who feel they have no one to turn to, that they may realize that they can always turn to God and that God will never abandon them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That Jesus, reliance on God through his passion and death may be a model for us in our trials and sufferings. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the Lord give members of our military courage and strength against all enemies, both spiritual and physical, and hasten their safe journey back to their homes and families. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Emilia C. Trujillo, Tilly Sions, Jesse and Edward Vilac, Guadalupe Vega, Anna and John Vetter, Ben Murr, and the deceased members of the Mew family, and for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our heart and for our intentions, spoken and unspoken. Let us pray to the Lord.
Almighty Father, you alone are the truth, and your truth has been incarnate in Jesus Christ. May we gaze upon his face in life, so that our eternal salvation may be assured in him, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Glory of your most holy name.
pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands, that the praise and glory of the name, for our good and for the good of the Holy Church.
Through the passion of your only begotten Son, O Lord, may our reconciliation with you be near at hand, so that, though we do not merit it on our own deeds, yet by this sacrifice made once for all, we may feel already the effects of your mercy. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For though innocent, he suffered willingly for sinners and accepted unjust condemnation to save the guilty. His death has washed away our sins, and his resurrection has purchased our justification. And so with all the angels we praise you, as with joyful celebration we acclaim.
Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus Dominus Deus abbat, pleni sum celi et terra gloria tua, Hosanna in excelsis, benedictus. Hosanna in excelsis.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
Save us, O Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection you have said,
therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly, we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit.
Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world. and bring her to the fullness of charity together with Francis our Pope and Michael our Bishop and all the clergy.
Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light
Hello,
of your face.
I'm Father Han Pham, rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.